you know that from your position, you can change your situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully as God's servant brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
All right, please, you may be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to share with us briefly on leadership. And while I was praying, asking the Lord what to speak on, the Lord spoke to me that I should speak on the place of leadership in the Great Commission. Or you could call it leadership and the Great Commission. The place of leadership in the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, if you start the reading from verse 18, where the Bible speaks of the Great Commission, Jesus speaking, and Jesus came unto them and spake unto them, saying, all power, or in other words, all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And then it tells us to go with that authority, to go with that authority and teach all nations. NKJV says to make disciples of all nations. It says baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So it tells us to go with the authority that he has given us, the influence that he has given us, to go forth with that power, that authority, and that influence of Jesus Christ into the world and to make disciples of all nations. In other words, another word for disciples is to make followers of all nations, to make followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we see that the Great Commission contains two things. Number one, evangelism. All right, preaching the gospel so that people can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and they can be saved. And then also we see discipleship. Discipleship. Now, if you know there, the Bible says to go therefore and make discipleship. Of course, it did not even say directly there to evangelize or to preach, but actually says to make disciples. But of course, you cannot make disciples of people without first of all having preached to them, like he said in Mark 16, to go into the world and preach the gospel. All right? So, but it tells us disciples. And that tells us that the goal of the Father, the goal of the Lord Jesus, is not just that we preach the gospel to people, but actually to make disciples of them. It means that if we preach the gospel and we evangelize, and we do not get to the point of making followers of people, we have not completed the Great Commission. So it's not just okay that we preach the word, we evangelize the word, we also must make disciples. And I believe that that's the reason why Jesus' emphasis here is on making disciples of all the nations. Making disciples of all nations. In other words, make them followers. 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 And that tells us that, you see, when it comes to effectiveness in the Great Commission, there is a need for every single believer to understand what it takes to make people follow you. Are we together? It's important for us to understand what it takes to make followers, what it takes to make people follow you, to make people follow you. Why? Because the Great Commission will be more effective when believers understand leadership. The Great Commission will be more impactful when we understand leadership. We would have more results. Why? Because not only are we going to be able to preach, we would also be able to make disciples, to make followers of people that God has sent us to. Because that's the aim of the Father. That's the goal of the Father. He wants us to make disciples of them. So every child of God must understand leadership, because there is leadership in the Great Commission. Are we together? There is leadership inside the Great Commission. And that's why the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, it calls us the light of the world. It says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. What does that mean? It means that we are a source of leadership. We are a source of influence. Because what light does is that light shows the way. All right? Light shows the way. It shows the path to take. It shows the path to tread. So we are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. So we are sources of influence. Remember Jesus speaking in John chapter 8 and verse 12, where he referred to himself as well as the light of the world. Jesus spoke unto them saying, he said, I am the light of the world. Then he says, he that followeth me. So light is meant to be followed. Can you say amen to that? So people should follow the light. He says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So what are we saying in essence? Leadership is a major part in the Great Commission. Every child of God must understand how to be an influence in your world. You must understand how to influence your world. You must understand how to influence people around you. You must understand how to leave an indelible mark in the lives of people such that they don't remain the same after an encounter with you. They don't remain the same coming in contact with you. Something happens to them. Their lives are molded into the form that God would want them to be. All right, your life is an example that they can follow. Your life is a template that they can pattern after, and they would not miss the Lord, but they would walk in step with the Lord and will walk in line with the Lord. You know, just a little bit of experience in the course of pastoring, I discovered that when people have skills, all right, and they have leadership added to it, they are more effective. Now, there are skillful people that do not know how to lead. And as skillful as they are, the challenge they would have is that they would not be able to reproduce themselves. Very important, they would not be. Now, as skillful as they are, not all skillful people are good at leadership, or not all skillful people are skillful at leadership. And somehow, if you are not skillful at leadership, you put a lid on your productivity. You put a lid on your ability to actually expand what God has given you. In fact, everything that we are doing right now in our lives is at the level of our leadership. All the results that we are commanding right now is at the level of our leadership. All the results we are having right now is at the level of our leadership, at the level of influence that we have. And that's why every child of God has to pay attention to this. All right, how do I become an influence? How do I leave an impact? How do I touch lives such that people want to follow me? They want to pattern their lives after me. They want to follow my life and follow my words. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? Can you say amen to that? Let me show us a scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We start the reading from verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. I want you to look at Apostle Paul. This is Apostle Paul going to the church in Thessalonica. And then he went there to preach. Look at what he said. He said, for our gospel. That's the preaching, all right, that Paul did in Thessalonica. His ministry in Thessalonica. He said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. It did not come in word only. In other words, we're not just merely talking. It wasn't just talking. It wasn't just all talk and just talk. He says, not in word only, but also in what? Power. What does that mean? Our words had influence. Our words came with authority. Our words were compelling. Our words were persuasive. Our words were drawing. Our words were attractive. So he said our words came. In other words, because you see, he says came to you in word only. So it came in word, but it wasn't only word, but there was an addition. Now, what was the addition? It came in power. What else? It came in the Holy Ghost. By the strength of the Holy Ghost, by the energy of the Holy Ghost. And I particularly love this part. He said, and it came in much assurance. What does that mean? It was convincing. Much assurance. It was convincing. Glory to God. Now, how many of us would love to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with much assurance. You love to communicate with much assurance. You see, people are coming, because the truth is that we must understand that the greatest value in leadership is trust. And that's why the very moment people don't trust you, you can't lead them. Because trust is important, because people must trust the leader. They have to. Trust is very vital. And trust is something you build. It's not something, and that's the reason why if somebody has been around for a very long time, ministered, you know, not necessarily in ministry, just generally in life, has done a couple of things, and people know the person, they've come to trust that leader, you know, there's a way to respond to that leader. Now, if in the office or wherever it is, there's a change, a new leader comes, people may not respond the same way, not because they don't like the leader, but because they are yet to trust him. All right, people, he has to build trust over time, because the currency leadership deals with is trust. Because people will not believe you except they trust you. All right? And if people do not believe you, they cannot follow you. Imagine Jesus, all right, going out to, you know, these young guys just being with their father, and, you know, their father, you know, just catching fishes by the river and all that. And Jesus just tapped them. Follow me. He says, I'll make you fishers of men. I just told myself, I said, of course, you know, the way the Bible tells the story, you know, the synoptic gospels, you might need to read very well to be able to understand the flow of events. I'm sure that was not their first encounter with Jesus. I'm sure that was not the first time they would hear of him. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? You know, for you to understand that influence, the Bible spoke about Jesus, multitudes followed him. How? Multitudes. In Matthew chapter 19, look at it. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 1. Quickly, Matthew 19. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came to the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. They followed him. How? Why? So trust is important. Very important in leadership. So he said our words were convincing. Our words were persuasive. It came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. And it came in assurance. And he tells us why. He says, as ye know what manner of men we were among you. What manner of men. In other words, you saw our life. You saw our way of life. You saw our manner of life. So when we spoke to you, there was conviction. There was persuasion. Glory to God. You saw a man of life. What manner of men we were among you for your sake? For your sake, glory to God. It means that there's a way of life that a leader lives for the sake of the people listening to you. Why? Because that's the only way your message will have an impact. Life. That's the only way your message will come with power. All right, that's the only way your message will come with much assurance. Now, it's good to have a message, but there is a life that must come with the message for the message to be impactful. So he spoke about what manner of men they were. And you see the next verse thereafter, he says, and ye became what? Followers of us. Followers of us. Now, if you go to chapter 2, I'll just show you this. If you go to chapter 2 of this same scripture, he said a little more still along that line. Go to chapter 2, start from verse 5. Look at what he said in verse 5. He said, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Go on, but we're gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Read on. He said, for you remember, brethren, our labor, our sacrifice, our travail. Glory to God. All our sacrifices, you can remember it. You can remember our values. You can remember the virtues that you could see in us. You can remember the moral excellence. You can remember our love walk, our charity, our conversation, our way of life. He said, because we will not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Quickly, he says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably We behaved ourselves among you that believe. Read on verse 11. As ye know how we exhorted and comfort and charge every one of you as a father doth his children. 12. That ye will walk worthy of God who has called us unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also we thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. So you see, their message was actually pushed by their life. We are saying something here. It was pushed by their life. Now, we are saying this because there are many things that people try to do that they believe is leadership. But at the very center of leadership is character. Because the only thing that trust can be built on is character. And the currency you deal with in leadership is trust. For example, we are all inside this building. You know, we are seated. Now, if you went into a building somewhere and then you stepped into the building, as you took the first step, you just heard, pray. And then somewhere at the corner of the building, a part of the roof shifted. And then you sat down and then you just discovered that there was another movement somewhere and another piece of the building shifted. I'm sure the first shift you will have gone out. Why? Because apparently the building does not have integrity. So you can't stay under a building that does not have integrity. And so you see a lot of people, they put a lot of attention on charisma. A lot of attention on gifting. But what inspires trust is character. What inspires trust is way of life. You have found a way of life. You believe in it. You are convinced about it. And you are living true to it. And you are telling others about that way of life that you have found, that you are living true to. And people say, this is true. Why? Because your words and your life are saying the same thing. Are you listening to what we're saying? So you have found a way of life. You are convinced about it. You are persuaded about it. You are sold out to it. You have found a cause to live for. You have found a cause to run. You have found a cause to apply yourself to. You believe in it yourself. You are convinced about it yourself. And your life shows that you are convinced, because faith without works is dead. Now, if you are convinced about it, your actions will show you are convinced. If you say something else and do something else, you are not convinced. And what does not convince you can't convince anybody. All right, because it's your faith that people must follow. It means no conviction, there is nothing to follow. Whose faith follow? There's no conviction, there's nothing to follow. Are you listening to what we're saying here? I saw a scripture at the time and it really blessed me. It was Psalm 110. If you start the reading from verse 1, I was greatly blessed when I saw it. Now, this is a prophecy about Jesus, a messianic prophecy. Now, the Bible said there, it says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand. It says, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. That speaks of authority. All right. It says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. And then in verse 3, I saw something that really thrilled me. He said, thy people shall be willing in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth in the beauties of holiness. He says, thy people shall be willing in the day of his power. He tells you holiness has power. It has influence. And I saw that word power there. I checked it and I saw that it was an Hebrew word that said chayil. I was surprised. And the word chayil actually just simply means virtue. Virtue. And same word, you know, that was used in 2 Peter chapter 1, where the Bible speaks, add to your faith manliness. Add to your faith virtue. Same word, the manliness. What does that mean? Moral excellence, character. So he said, your people will be willing in the day of his chayil. Moral excellence, character. Character. So it tells you that the scepter of authority is actually in character. Influence is in character. And so we build influence by paying attention to character, our life, our way of life, our manner of life, the way we live our lives. Are we together? And so it's so critical. So when we talk about the Great Commission, you must have impact. You must have impact. If you want to make disciples, you must have impact. If you want to make disciples, you must have impact. Remember the words of Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and he was speaking about the church in Corinth. He said, we do not need, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? He says, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? He said, we don't need it. He said, the proof of our ministry, you are the proof. He said, you are the proof of our ministry. What does he say in essence? The changes in your life. How you were before you met us and how you are now. That's the proof. We don't need anybody to announce us that these people have a message and it works. You are the proof that this message works. You are the proof that this word works. When people look at your life, they can tell it's working. It's working. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You are our epistles. So our impact on you, our impact upon your life is the proof of our ministry. So impact, influence, being able to make a difference and touch life. And listen, every child of God must be hungry for this. You know why? Because that's the will of God. That's God's dream about you. That's the will of God. That's the reason why we are here. That's the reason why you came. That's the reason why you're on the face of the earth. The reason why you're on the face of the earth is to do the will of God. And the will of God is to reconcile the world to himself. The will of God is that men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The will of God is to reconcile man back to himself. That's the will of God. So that's why we are here. That's what we are doing here. Like Pastor was mentioning to us while he was charging us, in your own way, with the gift that God has given you, with the opportunities that God has given you, you are impacting lives for Christ. You are changing men for Christ. You are transforming men in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In your own corner, in your room. Right there in your room where there are two or three persons, the people in your room have become followers of you. The people in your class have become followers of you. You know, more souls will be saved if we have more impact and more influence within our sphere of influence. We have more souls saved. I'm in a classroom, there are 12 of us, or 30 of us, or 50 of us, and God has given me influence in that classroom so that people listen to me when I speak. It means that God can use that influence that God has given me, I can use it to draw men to Christ. And now we've seen that happen again and again. Sometimes you just see one person get born again in the class, and then you see the old department in church. True? I mean, you see the old department in church. Why? Influence. So the Great Commission is not effective if I'm not effective in influence. And that's why it's something that every child of God must pay attention to. It's something that God wants us to have. God wants you to have influence. Can you say amen to that? He wants you to have it. He wants you to have it. That's why he calls us the light of the world. He wants us to have influence. He wants us to be able to make disciples of the people that we come in contact with. And then they follow us to where? They follow us to our Jesus. They follow us to Christ. They follow us and they encounter Jesus. They follow us, they encounter Christ. They follow us, they come in contact with God. They follow us, they come in contact with Christ. Glory to God. Their lives are changed. Their lives are transformed. Glory to God. Influence. And leadership is about influence. Pastor once upon a time, you know, defined leadership this way. He said Christian leadership is simply godly influence that inspires willing and active followership. So it's influence that is inspirational. It's not manipulative. It's not coercion. But it's inspirational. Now, Jesus did not have to threaten the multitudes to follow him. They followed him. He didn't have to threaten his disciples to follow him. He tapped them, follow me, I will make you. And then they followed him. Heartily, joyfully, influence. 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 And God wants us to understand how it works. How influence works. So that you are not doing things that will make you ineffective as a minister of reconciliation. You are not doing things that will hinder you from having result as much as you should have. As much as you ought to have. So I'll just mention maybe one or two things that are very critical. I've already spoken about character. But I want to say one or two things that are very critical to building this godly kind of influence. Number one, you must understand that leadership is always about the will of God. Now, there is no sense in leadership if there's no purpose to it. What does that mean? There's no need for leadership if there's no destination. That's what we're saying in essence. There's no need for leadership if there's no goal, if there's no purpose, if you're not going anywhere, if there's nothing to do. And that's why God does not seek a man except there's something to do. So God will seek a man to make up the edge. There's an edge to make up, so God is seeking a man. God is seeking a man. Why? Because he has heard the cries of his people and he needs to send a man to Pharaoh that will deliver them from captivity. So God will not seek a man except there's a, he needs a man in the world to die for our sins. So God sent his son to die for our sins. So there was something to do. So there is no leadership without purpose. There is no leadership without a goal. There's no leadership without something to achieve. And that's why you can't talk about the leadership of any organization without talking about what's the mission of that organization. What's the organization about? What's the vision of that organization? So you can start talking about leadership, because what leadership does is that it helps us achieve the mission of the organization. It helps us achieve the mission of that organization. That's what leadership is about. Now, it's not leadership if it's achieving a mission that is apart from the mission of the organization. So listen, there's nothing like self-leadership if you're not going anywhere. There's nothing like personal leadership if I don't have somewhere that I'm going. So there has to be a goal. There has to be a purpose. Leadership always has to do with a specific purpose, a specific goal, a mission. I like the way, you know, the Bible interprets it. You see, leadership is like a transport. You are transporting people from one point to another point. You are carrying people from one point to another point, like Moses from Egypt to the promised land. All right, like Joshua from the promised land, from the River Jordan, right into the promised land, and then dividing the land to them. And Jesus from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. All right, so leadership always has a purpose. There's always a goal in view. There's always something to do. There's an assignment. And listen, leadership is always about the purpose of God, the will of God. You have discovered God's purpose for you in the Great Commission. You have discovered God's will for you in the Great Commission. And then you are chasing it. You are pursuing it. You are chasing it. You are pursuing it. So leadership is always about purpose. Purpose, an assignment, something to do for the Lord. And God is seeking a man to do something for him. Now listen to this. God will not do anything on earth without a man. So every time God wants to do something on earth, he seeks a man. Are we together? So it tells you that men on earth are running God's agenda. Or men on earth ought to be running God's agenda. Doing the things that God will have to be done on earth. doing the assignment that God would have us do on earth. Look at Jesus speaking in John 6 and verse 38. He said, I have come. Can you show us? He said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will. He says, but the will of him that sent me. And this is a great leader here. Multitudes followed him. And he came to the earth for one purpose. What was that purpose? Not to do his own will, but to do the will of him that sent him. Him that sent him. So you understand, leadership is about the will of God. It's about the purpose of God for you. What God needs you to do for him. The assignment that God needs to do for him. Look at what it says there. It says, not to do my own will. So leadership is never about you. It's never about you. And that's why a leader must be selfless. Because leadership will not be about you. It will not be about you. And that's why there was something I wrote there. Now listen, any purpose that does not have others at the center of it is not worthwhile. It's not worthwhile. Any purpose that does not have love at the center of it. And when I mean love, I mean others, self for others. Because that's how God defines love. Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friend. So God defines love as others before self. As self-sacrifice. So there is no purpose that is worthwhile that is not about others or about love, about others before self, about being a blessing to other people. And that's why 1 Corinthians says, if I surrender my body to be born and I have not love, it says I'm nothing. So it's not what you do that counts, it's why you are doing it. Now, if you're not doing it for love, it's not worthwhile to God. He said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be born, and I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Why? Because what makes your purpose worthwhile is love. Love. The fact that you are doing it for others. Why did Jesus come? He didn't come for himself. He came for us. He came for others. He didn't come for us. He came for others. Let me show us a scripture. Glory to Jesus. Look at this. Matthew chapter 20. Okay, let's read it from Matthew. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25, look at what the Bible says there. Jesus speaking. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. He says, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be what? Your minister, so your servant. So Jesus described leadership as service, minister. He described and defined leadership a service, minister, whosoever will lead great among you. So lead among you. He says, let him be your minister. So as a leader is a minister. A minister. And so God gives him influence to minister. Not to exercise lordship, but to minister. Is why God gave him the influence to minister. Let him be your minister. And then look at verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, what's your life all about? Purpose is only worthwhile if it's about others. Purpose is not worthwhile if it's about you. Purpose is only worthwhile when it's about others. Purpose is only worth pursuing when it's about others. Purpose is only worth pursuing when it's about love. Love, being a blessing to people, touching lives, changing lives, positively affecting people. Are we together?
And that's what makes purpose worthwhile. Life is worth living. Life is worth living. Glory to God. And so, leadership has purpose at the center of it. And that purpose is not worthwhile, except that purpose is all about love. Now, let me say this about the leader. You must be consumed with your purpose. What does that mean? Your purpose must take you over. Now, that's why you live. That's why you breathe. That's the reason why you wake up in the morning. That's the reason why you do the things that you do. It's about love, and you are consumed with it. I like the way the Bible puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. Look at the words of Apostle Paul there. It says, for whether we be besides ourselves, it says, it is to God. In other words, if we are beside ourselves, it's about God's purpose that he has shown us as to the reason why he created us. He said, if we look as though we are out of our mind, and it looks as though we are literally senseless, it's because we have discovered the reason why God made us, and then we are consumed with it. We are consumed with it. We are passionate about it. We are sold out to it. He says, whether we be sober, it's for your cause. Verse 14, he said, for the love of Christ constrained us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So one passion. One passion. What is that passion? To do the will of the Father. One passion to love. One passion to serve. One passion to love others, to make a difference. To love others. To sacrifice so that others can live. In John chapter 10, Jesus was speaking about the shepherd. All right, a shepherd, you know, symbolizes a leader, but just doesn't apply to a pastor only. John chapter 10, if you start the reading from verse 3. John 10 and verse 3, he says, he's speaking about the good shepherd. He said, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He says, and he calleth his own sheep by name. He says, and leadeth them out. Look at it. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He doesn't have to coerce them. They follow him. They follow him. But you see, the voice of a stranger, verse 5, they will not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Now, why is that so? Jump to verse 11. Why is it that they follow the shepherd and they do not follow the stranger? He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Self-sacrifice. Verse 12, he says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he seeth the wolf coming, he leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Go on, the hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and he careth not for the sheep. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I'm none of mine. So in other words, I will give my life for them. And so when I speak, they follow me because of the fact that they know that I love them. They know that it's about them. They know that I care about them. They know that what I'm saying and what I'm doing, it's all about them. It's not about me. It's not about me, it's about them. So leadership is not about you, it's about others. And so it's about purpose. No purpose is worthwhile, except love is at the center of it. What is love? Love is others before self. Others before self. It means that you are not living your life for yourself, you are living for others. You saw that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we read there. If you go to verse 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So leadership, purpose. What is that purpose? To serve others. What is that purpose? To make a difference. What is that purpose? To touch lives. What is that purpose? All right, to see God's will fulfilled in the lives of the people that God has brought to you. That's that purpose. So it's not about you, it's about others. And you give yourself to it. You are consumed by it. Sometimes you are so consumed by it that you forget yourself. Sometimes you are so consumed by it that you have to be reminded that you need certain things. Why? Because your whole life now is about it. You are willing to give up everything for it. Just like Apostle Paul, he was willing to give up everything just to get the gospel to the Gentiles. Even when he was stoned and persecuted, he still went back again and again, and he would not give up, because that was what his whole life was about. He didn't mind the things that he was going through. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 and verse 8 rather shows us a little bit of that. It says we are troubled on every side. Now, if they sat in their house, there's no trouble. But now they are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So we die so that you can live. We sacrifice ourselves so that you can live. We sacrifice our comfort so that you can live. We deny ourselves of certain things, not because we do not have a right to them or because we cannot have them, but we deny ourselves of those things so that we can be a blessing to you. He tells me, you can't be more blessing than the sacrifice you are willing to make. And that's why you can't serve yourself and be a blessing. You can't live for yourself and be a blessing. You can't be about yourself and be a blessing. You can't minister to yourself and think only of yourself and be a blessing. No. You can't service your own need and be a blessing. It doesn't work that way. Why? Because the only way somebody else will live is that somebody else has to die. In other words, somebody else must be willing to give up his own comfort. You know, Pastor would always say to us, how did the gospel come here to us in Africa? You know how it came? Sacrifice. Now, if people sat in their houses for their own comfort, the gospel would never have come here. And that's why the gospel can never be preached in comfort. If they sat in their homes, the gospel would never have gotten here. If the missionaries that brought the gospel to Africa were just about themselves, about dreams, I want to be this, I want to be that, ambition, the gospel won't get here. Would never have gotten here. So the gospel got here on the sacrifice of others. It tells you the grace you have received, if it's going to touch someone else, you have to put something in the ground. You also must be willing to also put your own sacrifice on the ground so that somebody else can live. And that's what Paul was saying there. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He was speaking about their sacrifices. The sacrifices they have to make so that the gospel can reach the Gentiles. The things they have to deny themselves. Not because they didn't have the power to get it. But they knew that if they served themselves, they would not be able to serve others. Let me say this to us as I close. That there is no great leader anywhere in the world that has had impact without sacrifice. Not anywhere. Without sacrifices, not anywhere. Without denying himself or herself of certain things, not anywhere. We speak about the work of Mother Teresa. Have you read her sacrifices? Have you read the things that she had to forego for the people that she loved and served? There's no leadership. You can't, because nothing motivates like sacrifice. We love Jesus. We follow him. What he did for us is immense. How else do you show people that you love them? Is it not the sacrifice? Nothing inspires like love. And that's why the Bible tells us, husband, the only way you can lead your wife is that she sees your sacrifices. You give yourself for her. Because that's how you lead her. It's not just instruction. She sees the sacrifices you've made for her. She's convinced. This is love. There's no love without sacrifice. Love is sacrifice. And there's no leadership without love. Because at the center of the purpose that leadership drives is love for the people that you're serving. And I trust the Lord that by the grace of God, through us, more lives than we can ever imagine will be touched all around the world in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your influence will increase. Your influence will multiply. much more than the impact you have had in the years behind, you will have greater impact in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Can we rise to our feet? Lift your hands. Give God praise. Give him glory. Give him thanks. Give him honor. Give him worship. Come and lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm ready for you. I'm ready to do your will. I'm ready to serve you. I'm ready to lay it all. I'm ready to drop it all. I want to have influence. I want to be able to make a difference. I want to have impact on the world around me. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Lord, whatever you desire that I should let go, I'm willing to let it go. Whatever it will cost me, Lord, to do your will, to serve your will on earth, to serve the people that you love, to serve the people that you have sent me to, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing, Lord. Lift your voice. I want you to ask him, is your strength, is your light and your salvation, is the one that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You can't do it in your own power. The Bible says, for God is at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. I want you to cry out to God and say, work it in me, Lord. Work it in me. I can't do it by myself. You are my life. You are my strength. You are my life. You are my strength. You are my life, my ability to love as you love.